Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And I want to tell you that Gabby was here before all of that.
Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem. This is now the Parashat Vahera, the second parasha of Shmot. And the shiur is going to be Leilui Neshama of Pluma Bat Yehuda HaKohen and Yaakov Ben Abraham Abba.
That's my mother and my father. They died within 30 years of each other, but that was more or less the same time.
Unbelievable. Okay. One of the interesting things of our parasha is when we go to the end of the last parasha, and then what is happening is Moshe Rabbeinu is being raised up, as we all know, in the palace of Pharaoh. Then he kills this Egyptian guy and he runs away, and he gets married to Zipporah, the daughter of Yitro. And then God reveals himself in the burning bush, and then he's being sent to Egypt, going take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. And he gets there and everybody is happy. Oh, the Geula is coming. He goes to Pharaoh, and what happens is right away Pharaoh is getting angry and he's giving Am Yisrael even a worse condition than before. And of course everybody is very angry about on Moshe and Aaron, and they approach Moshe and says, what have you done?
But this is a new Pharaoh.
Yes, but it doesn't matter. It's a new Pharaoh or an old Pharaoh.
But Aaron was good to him. Sorry? The old Pharaoh made him a viceroy.
Yeah, but the old Pharaoh also changed his mind after he killed this Egyptian. In other words, no Pharaoh loved Moshe Rabbeinu, and especially didn't love him when he suddenly appears in front of our eyes as the savior of Am Yisrael, while they understand and realize that they raised him in the palace and gave him all the right education in order for him to come now and stand in front of them. I couldn't even imagine the shock of Pharaoh when he sees Moshe in front of his eyes and realizes that this is the same Moshe he was growing up with. I think he's in a total shock. But now, what's happening is that nothing good is happening. So Moshe Rabbeinu approaches God. And this is like looks like a real chutzpah. Lama ra'ot al am hazeh? Why did you do things worse? Why did you send me? And God tells him, you will see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Is this an answer? He says, you sent me to save Am Yisrael. You didn't. You see what I'm going to do. What answer is here? And then he starts, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem. First of all, Elokim is always judgment, din. And Hashem is rachamim, mercy, chesed. And here, using the both names, he says, if you think for a minute that I'm using my name of judgment, you are mistaken. Ani Hashem. I am mercy. I am love. I am chesed. And from the other side, Or Chaim says, Vayomer Elokim, he says, Elokim midat adin, he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu. How dare you speak with me like this? What do you think? If we are like in a good relationship, you can allow yourself to speak like this? Look what's happening. Vayera el Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'El Shaddai. I was revealing myself to Avram, to Yitzchak and Yaakov, and nobody approached me and talked with me like you're talking with me. So why is he not punishing him here? He's part said they did punish him. He says, you're not going to go into Eretz Israel, it starts from here. But really, we don't say because why is Moshe Rabbeinu doing what he's doing? Why is he approaching God in this way?
Because he loves his people.
Because he loves Am Yisrael. And by the way, it's a very important lesson on that. If you love Am Yisrael, who do you love? You love God. So God understands that Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming here from a point of view of something. He comes from love. And he explains to him. You see, you have to understand, things are changed. It's not the same as it used to be with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because with them, I revealed myself with a different way, with a different name. Now, it's a miracle way. And everything is a miracle. But this time, it's not normal miracles. It's miracles above nature. In other words, those miracles you cannot explain. For example, how can you explain that fire and water go together? Okay. Impossible. How can you explain that water becomes blood, real blood, not water in the color of blood, real blood? All the fish died. How can you explain it? So what he's doing, telling him, is this, in a normal, natural Yeshua, Geula, what would have been? Same way as the morning. The night is going out, and the morning, slowly but surely, the light goes higher and higher and higher. But this is different. It's going first to be so dark, then the light will shine. Because, you know, if I light a candle here, you wouldn't see it. You would see the candle, but it wouldn't light a lot because there is light here. But if I make this room dark and I light a candle, the whole room is going to be lit. So in other words, God wanted us to see the Geula. And also, if we think about what's happening here, is this Geula is not just a Geula. This is a proof that God is here.
What's the translation of Geula?
Geula is redemption. Or redemption, yeah, I think it is. You can call it redemption. So now, when we see, God is really explaining Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, if you think for a minute that the Rebbe Mikotsky used to say, if you think the problem was taking Am Yisrael out of Egypt, the problem was taking Egypt out of Am Yisrael. Yes, because they were so in. For us, thinking on the surface, it's very hard to understand. We think, what do you mean? There were slaves. They would be more than happy to go free. But that's not real life. In real life, think about it. They are not slaves for 20 years. This is like the second generation and the third generation. They are used to it. That's their life. They were born to slavery. And that's what they know. You know, I used to be in a networking, like they have this system that you sell from a mouth to a ear, products, whatever. And I learned a lot of things there. And one of the things they taught us then, that you have what you call the comfort zone. What is the comfort zone? Everybody's got his own comfort zone. We are used to things, and we don't want to change. Even if the change is good. Because we used to, I know what I've got. And you see people that have a terrible job, doing it for many years, and every time that they come home, what a day I had, and my boss did this, I wish I had another job. And then comes this guy and a friend and tells him, Moishale, I've got a new job for you. You're going to be a manager. You're going to do this. I said, yes, very nice. And then he thinks, come tomorrow, I'll tell you. And what do you think he's telling him tomorrow?
No.
He doesn't. I've got time.
And this is amazing. But that's the comfort zone. Now, if we take this to Egypt, they are used to life, this life. And by the way, they don't have to do any mitzvahs. They live like, they eat, they drink, they do what they do, they work, and that's what they know. Because God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu a few times, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. Look what is written. Lachen emor libnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, I am God. And then I'm going on. Lakachti lachen alayim, vayiti lachem le'elokim. Vidatem ki Ani Hashem. I am God, your God, your Lord. Elokechem. And then, Ani Hashem. So again and again and again, he's telling you, if you think that you're coming and they're going to rejoice and come out and do whatever they want. No, you have to understand. When they come out, then what they're going to do? They're going to worship God. They have to do a job. They have to be to work for God. Not going on with the life of slavery and doing what they want, like from the spiritual point of view, like going only on the materialistic side of life, only being physical, no spiritual. No, it's going to change. Ani Hashem, I'm taking them out from Egypt in order to give them the Torah, and they have to do the mitzvahs. Now, it's not so easy. It's not so simple. And we see, unfortunately, that after all the miracles, only 20% getting out of Egypt, which is unbelievable. But then, the interesting thing is, one of the things that is... So God is telling him, okay, now go back and talk to Pharaoh. Tell him to shalach et ami, send my people, let my people go. וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, בוא דבר אל פרעה מלך מצרים, וידבר משה לפני השם לאמור, and say, what do you want from me? בני ישראל don't listen to me. So why should Pharaoh listen to me? And they said, this is one of the 10 קל וחומר in the Bible. And one of the thing is, what is the קל וחומר here? קל וחומר is like, if you have something that... you learn, and there is something easier, so of course it's going to be. So in other words, if this guy has got, let's say, 100 shekel, so of course he's got 50 shekel. And if you hit a guy with, with a severe power, so, and he listens to me, so if you're going to hit him more, of course he's going to listen to you. If you say that your kid, oy vavoy, and he's listening to you, so if you're going to hit him, of course he's going to listen to you. You know, kal vachomer is if the hard thing is being done, so of course the easy thing. So one of the question is, what exactly is the kal vachomer here? Why Pharaoh wouldn't listen, or would listen, or what's the connection between Pharaoh and Am Yisrael? When you talk to Am Yisrael, they are slaves. They have they don't have time to listen. But Pharaoh, he's got all the time of the world. What's the problem? He can listen to you. But that's not the Kal Vachomer. The Kal Vachomer is Am Yisrael that believe in the Geula, in the redemption, and they see it's a problem. Pharaoh that doesn't believe in it, why should he listen? But one of the interesting things is, one day, I love this explanation. When Moshe Rabbeinu came the first time, he was all in... enthusiastic. Wow, said Mitlavut. Wow. And he talked with them, you know. But now, after nothing is happening, he is like a Nebuch. It's not, he hasn't got a spirit anymore. So Kotzer Ruach, he said, and this way you cannot sell anything. You know, I always remember a few years ago, a girl phones me in order to sell me something. You know, they have this system on the phone to try to sell you something. And I did an experiment. I wanted to know if this girl knows what she's talking about. Because they take this girl, they give them a piece of paper. I've got this brilliant metzia for you, this and this and that. So, first of all, she was very dry from the beginning. And then when I asked a question on the product, she didn't know what to answer. So, am I going to buy something from her? Definitely not. So, when I started bringing chairs, orthopedic chairs to Israel from Germany, office orthopedic chairs, in the beginning it was very hard to sell. They were more expensive, and I didn't know exactly what I'm selling. Because they told me it's orthopedic, so what? But then, when I learned what it's all about, and I got really excited about it, I sold much more. Why? Because when you believe in the product and you know what it is, you can sell it. They say that a good salesman can sell eyes to the Eskimos. But let's say a terrible salesman cannot sell even things you need, he cannot sell it to you. So this is the idea is to, first of all, you have to believe in yourself. To believe in what you sell, and then you can sell it. So this is also already a big lesson for us. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, like, he doesn't feel the same excitement he had in the beginning. Because nothing is working. And this is a big lesson for us to understand and realize. We have to be excited. It's like we do a certain mitzvah, certain things, and we lose the excitement. And we do it like we have to do it. That's not the way to do things. And here even, we see it with the Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, when we're talking about Kotzer Ruach Vavodah Kasha, we see that God is sending Moshe and Aaron. By the way, each one of them is talking. It's very complicated. When we look at it, it's like Aaron is talking with the people, and Moshe Rabbeinu is talking with Pharaoh, but sometimes we see it's a little changing. But they both doing it, and here is another interesting thing. when we see it's written who Aaron and Moshe asher amar Hashem lahem otziu od bnei Israel meret Misraim al tzivotam. Who is singular. Who? He, Moshe ve'Aaron, the plural, should be they. Mm-hmm. It's written him. Who? Aaron u'Moshe. There are two, they're not one. And then, at the end of this pasuk, is written again, who? Moshe ve'Aaron, but in a different order. The beginning it was Aaron u'Moshe. Who is first? Aaron. And then Moshe. At the end is who? Moshe ve'Aaron. Moshe is first and Aaron is second. What is the Torah trying to tell us? Where? Why are they called in singular and not plural?
They become one. They spoke same thing.
And why is in the beginning Aaron before Moshe? And Moshe, no, you're on the
Aaron
way.
Was that's nothing.
We think that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest guy that there is. Yes?
Yeah.
In other words, if we take Moshe and Aaron, who would you say is
but
more important?
Aaron was the speaker.
So. But if I ask you who is more important, Moshe or Aaron, what would you say?
Moshe.
Mm-hmm. So the Torah is telling us not. The Torah is telling us they're equal. Who? Aaron or Moshe? Who Moshe and Aaron? And what is the lesson here? The Rambam says that each one of us can be Moshe Rabbeinu. Really? Each one of us can be Moshe Rabbeinu? It depends what the Rambam means. The Rambam means each of us got a potential. Moshe Rabbeinu exceeded his potential. He got to the top of his potential. That's why at the end he's called Moshe Ish Elokim. He got to the highest level. What the Rambam is saying, each one of us can go to the top level of himself. You have to use your potential. And Moshe, he was the prophet. Aaron was the one who is chasing peace. He's the peace guy. And there is nobody greater than Aaron in making peace. Not even Moshe. And there is nobody greater than Moshe in prophecy. Not even Aaron. In other words, what the Torah is telling us, they both did the job. And it's the same way with a couple. If the couple, each one of us is doing his own job, you have a beautiful home. But if one of them is not doing the job, he says, no, the man is more important than the woman. The woman is more important. No, both of them are equally important if each one of them is doing his own job. Unfortunately, today, women do job of... This is Avodat Parech, by the way. Women are doing jobs of men are doing jobs of women, and the whole world is a little portrayed. But that's exactly the point. The point is that if each one of us is going to do his own job...
As you said, they are the same.
So. Exactly. They are the same, but what is the same? Moshe is not Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron is not Moshe.
Okay, but
each one of them is doing his own job. In other words, in life, if we want to have a good a business, whatever, each one in the business has to do his own job. Imagine to yourself that the secretary is going to decide to be the worker, and the worker is going to be the secretary, and the secretary is going to be the manager, and the manager is going to be... What's going to happen to the business?
Well,
it's going to finish.
Collapse.
Collapsing. But because everybody's got his own potential. And I think this is one of the biggest lessons in our parsha. Because we always talk about this guy and the other guy, and we look at other people and we envy them, we're jealous. Nothing to be jealous of.
You know, you gave me really a new idea that maybe we were used to the man has to do this and women have to do this. Maybe there is not such a big difference. You know, sometimes a woman can do a man's job and opposite. It's not real men or women jobs. So, you know, specific. It was in our society. It was where how we were used to. But maybe it's not real. It's not true.
I disagree with you.
I tell you. You see, what you're saying is very interesting, and there is a point in it. But there is a klal. There is a general thing. The general thing is women are women and men are men. You know,
okay,
the famous
sure.
book, women from Mars or men from
Venus,
whatever it is.
Men are from Mars.
Now I tell you something very interesting. You will see it. It's happening every time when you see men and women coming to a party or to a meeting. You will see Generally speaking, yes, of course. Yeah, oh, yeah. There's always a... Different. You will see, yes, they will see, let's say, give it half an hour, and you'll see the women sitting by themselves right. and the men by themselves. Mm-hmm. What happened? Because men have different interests than women. Of it doesn't mean that women cannot do what men, or men cannot do what women. But if each one of us is going to do his own job, then we fulfill each other and we do. But if each one of us is going to do the same job, nothing is going to happen. And that's the idea. Now, some women have... And by the way, in Kabbalah, when they talk about women and men, they don't talk about a physical being. They're talking about a spiritual being. Each one of us got male and female inside. Each one of us. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what is more than the other? That's why we have different faces, different attitudes, different a lot of different things. Because it depends how we build. The mixture. So, sometimes a woman... She talks like a man, like he's what we call like tomboy. And sometimes you see a man, he's like a woman. It happens. So what? You know, it's each one of us got his own job. You see, the thing is that as long as we understand and realize that God gave us a personal potential, and we have to use this potential, not for us, for the others. And that's the main thing. He says, it's Moshe ve'Aaron, because... If Moshe without Aaron, maybe there was no redemption. Aaron without Moshe, definitely was no redemption. The Torah is making sure that we will realize. Why is the Torah... It's an unbelievable thing. The same Pasuk, Moshe and Aaron written twice. Who? In singular twice. And once Moshe is before Aaron, once Aaron is before... Why? What's the Torah trying to tell us? Exactly this. If you think for a minute that Moshe Rabbeinu worth more than Aaron, mistaken. Wow, but Moshe Rabbeinu is the prophet. Yes, so what? He got his job. By the way, they say that Moshe Rabbeinu got a special soul. So already it's not fair. he's got a special soul, well, what can we do? And that's the point. Moshe Rabbeinu himself realizes, he says, "V'nachnu ma," we are nothing. He says, whatever I've got, I got it from God. He is using it. By the way, that's the important thing. It's not saying, okay, everything is from God and I don't have to do anything. No, you have to do. You have to use the potential you've got. It's not like saying, I'm modest, I'm not. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Look what he's doing. This guy is taking Amisar out of Egypt. And he, the Torah tells us, A'anav yoter mikol adam al pnei adamah. There is nobody more modest from him, more humble than him. Nobody. But does it mean he's not great? Does it stop him from doing what he has to do? No. So we have, it's a big lesson for us. And I think that this thing that if each one of us will realize that we have a job, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Each one's got a job, and it doesn't matter what it is. But we are a part of this beautiful thing that's called Am Yisrael. Maybe the people that are running now for the third election will realize it. That each one of us got a job. Don't have to fight. Try and... It's like I always remember the Rav Adam Sina. He said a beautiful thing. I told it you once in... maybe we end this lesson with this. He says, when a couple... What is the power of a couple? They always tell you, you have to give up. Yes? In order to have good relationship, you have to give up.
Adapt.
What?
Adapt more than give up.
Compromise.
Compromise. You know what he says? Mistake. You don't have to compromise and don't give up. You have to join forces. It's like if I have one and one, it's not exactly the same, because when you give up, you feel bad. When you compromise, you feel bad. That's not good relationship. But if you give to each other, you feel good. And when you feel good, like we're talking about, if you're being excited. If you do things because you want to do them, you're happy to do them, it's a whole different issue. Mm-hmm. And he's telling this story about a couple that came to him, and they were rowing, they almost got to the Rabbanut. And they came to him for consulting. So he's asking, what's the problem? So the man is saying, he said, we have this business together. And a few days ago, this was the top of it. That's it. I don't want it anymore. A very good friend of mine came. He wanted to buy something. And my wife just sent him away. And said, I don't want to sell you anything. And this is a friend, like, she's ruined my relationship with my best friend. So he's asking the wife, is this true? He says, yes, but you have to hear the story. He says, no, what's the story? He said, our business was almost finished. We went to bankruptcy, Mechula. That's it, finished. And we rebuilt it. And I put a lot of effort into it. And the man is saying, yes, I must say, she saved the business. He says, now this guy, who is his friend, he owes us money from the last time. And he comes again to take stuff. And he didn't pay for the old stuff. And I couldn't agree to this. And I sent him away. Said, but you what you did, this is my bad. You know what the Arava Adam Sinai says? He says, your mistake is that you're fighting with each other. But there is a way, let's say, that everybody can get what he wants. You know? How is it? How can it be? How in this situation can everybody get what he wants?
He can't pay what he was.
Doesn't want to pay.
So the husband and wife stood together.
Yes. Let's see, what the husband wants? He wants him not to pay?
No.
What does he want? He's not ruining the relationship. Okay. What is the wife wanting? She wants him to ruin the relationship?
No.
She wants him to pay. Right. Now let's look. It's very easy. Have to approach him saying, my dear friend, you know we love you. You know, but our business was almost finished and now we're starting again. And we cannot allow ourselves. If you're a real friend, you have to pay what you owe. And now this way, the man and the woman got exactly what they wanted. He is not going to get anything more without paying, and he's going to stay a friend. And if he's not a friend, who needs him? So in other words, the power of a couple, the power in life is to join venture, to join forces, to find, because one minus one is nothing. But one plus one is two. V'tovim ha'shnayim min ha'echad. So good relationship is not giving up or compromising. We call it this way. But don't look at it this way. Look at it, we give what we've got and you put it on the table in the middle and work out what can we do with those two forces. And when we have those two forces, who Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron or Moshe, we get the redemption. בעזרת השם.
תודה רבה.
בבקשה.